More of Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Caudette. You know, a few weeks ago, we were joined by Boisean John Michael Shirt, a former professional dancer and Treefort Music Fest executive producer, with a unique outlook on how artists and creatives can get through a financial crisis. Creatives, he said during that interview, are equipped with the unique skills that can help a society get through a traumatic crisis like coronavirus. Well, now, along with the City of Boise's Terry Shoresman and the director of the Morrison Center, Laura Kendall, John Michael is back on the show today to talk about their solution to this problem, the COVID Cultural Commissioning Fund. This fund is a collaboration between the City of Boise, Treefort Music Fest, Boise Arts and History, and the Morrison Center. The CCC grant program is giving out grants of $1,000 to local artists to capture this historic time. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you.
Okay, so can we just very quickly cover the funding of how this will work?
Most certainly. Terry, would you like to take us away to start us off?
You go ahead.
Okay.
You go ahead.
The CCC fund, as you said, is a great collaboration of these three organizations. We're trying to put as many dollars into the hands of local creatives as possible. So that'll take the shape of $1,000 commissions, as you illuminated. And we are being specific. This is an award, a commission, more than a grant. So more than relief, this is really an award that's saying, how are you using this time to creatively think of new paradigms, to make sense of this narrative, to heal, and to also document this moment and our city and our country's evolution.
So Terry, with the Boise Arts and History Department, how will you be supporting the fund, and why did you see this as important?
Yeah, thanks, Gemma. We will support it in a number of ways. We provided some administrative support in looking at the application process. We're working in partnership with the team on communications protocols. We'll help facilitate the panel facilitation, which is much of what we do in our artist selection processes in general. And then I think ultimately this is going to be this curatorial guidance we bring forward on how we select the items that are produced from this great commissioning effort that will come into the city archive. We have an archive with a special collection that we're developing on the COVID era that will include oral histories and ephemera and, you know, data and media and all kinds of things. And we think that being able to collect the output of what these artists give us will be that really important component of the creative voice into documenting this era.
And then, Laura, same question to you. How is the Morrison Center supporting the fund, you know, and then why be a part of this?
Yeah, thanks, Gemma. So as one of the bigger arts organizations in Boise, it's really about giving back. And so one of the things that we're doing is putting dollars into the fund and also helping to do the process of paying out the awards. So our administrative staff is handling that piece of it. We have donations from Extra Mile Arena as well, from Boise State University. So we really see it as an opportunity to really elevate the creatives and artists in our community. Because as you know, our venue is empty right now, and we can't do what we do without artists and creatives. So this is super important to the Morrison Center.
And John Michael, Treefort's website, it hosts a public fundraiser portal for the Cultural Commissioning Fund. So are you hoping to raise a specific amount of money from the public?
We're trying to raise enough money to get as many commissions into the hands of the public as possible. Our goal is about 100 commissions is our baseline goal, so you can kind of do the math. We are already more than halfway there, which is incredible.
Wow.
So as Laura mentioned, this began, Laura emailed Eric Gilbert, the festival director of Treefort, and I about a month ago and just said, all these artists are at home, all these creatives are at home, and they're doing what they do best, which is creating, helping us make sense of what's occurring. Because as we're all sitting at home, what are we doing? We're watching these videos, we're listening to music, and we're looking at visual art, and we're trying to make sense of it. And Laura said, they're all doing this work, but they're not being compensated. What if we thought of a way to get money into their hands, especially while almost all of them are unemployed? And I just thought that was the greatest idea. Mm-hmm. So the Morrison Center was quick to say, as Laura was just illuminating, we come from a place of privilege being an institution. How can we help? How can we put dollars in? How can we help create a structure? And so they stepped forward with a large amount of money. And then we approached the Albertson Foundation, JCAF, J.A. and Catherine Albertson Foundation, who matched what Morrison Center and Extra Mile we're putting in. And then we've begun approaching individuals in our community. So already $1,000, $2,000 gifts were coming in from many of the, you know, arts patrons that we know. But then we wanted to create more of a crowdsourced outlet, which is housed on the Treefort website, but this really is a collaboration of all these organizations. And so we're using the platform Cause, C-A-U-Z-E, and you can get to it through the Treefort site, where anyone can go contribute. Already we've had 27 patrons in less than 48 hours give anything from $10 to $500 to $5,000 through that portal.
Well, it's going to be so fascinating, I think, you know, when we look back even a year from now, right? Or 5 years from now, not only how we are different, but how creatives have moved us through this, through their eyes and their work. So with that being said, do creatives need to apply for this grant? I mean, how will that work? Because you're hoping to announce winners in mid-May.
Yeah, I'll let Laura and Terry join in. But yes, the application is open. It's going to close next Friday. So it'll be open for a total of about 10 days. As we mentioned, as of now in 7 minutes, they'll have been open for 48 hours. We've already had almost 50 applications, which is incredible, in less than 48 hours. We've made the application as streamlined as possible, where you can sit and do it maybe even on your phone in one sitting. So a lot of times, you know, applications can be cumbersome with lots of long drafted. We wanted this to be accessible. So if you are at home and you don't have internet access, but you have a smartphone, if you come from a population that does not, you know, this is only in English, but we are offering assistance to people to help them fill out this application. We want this to be a low barrier, but the scoring is going to be looking at both the need during this COVID time, your artistic work to date, but 50% of the scoring is looking at the creativity of your proposal. What are you intending to do? How are you going to make a new program that's bringing community together? And we don't want standard proposals like, I want to release my album. You know, it's like, how are you really responding to this time?
Right.
And so the application closes in a week. And then we've put together a panel of national experts and local stakeholders, about 12 panelists who will be reviewing every application and deciding who receives this award. And Laura and Terry, I'm sorry, anything else you might want to add?
Well, no, Laura, go ahead.
Go ahead, Laura.
No, go ahead. I think I'm good.
I just really wanted to reiterate that importance of how simple the application process is and why it's been so great to have the Morrison Center and the flexibility that you guys have in being able to turn that money back out. We couldn't do that at the city, so we appreciate you being able to do that. And I think the simplicity and effectiveness of it all will help get that money in the hands of folks pretty quickly. And then September, I think we're looking at is when we'd like to be looking at all of these products coming in and we can evaluate then what comes into the archive.
See, that's what's amazing to me, though, is that I imagine that the goal of the CCC, I mean, it does go beyond just supporting artists right now, I mean, which is incredibly important, but this really will contribute, I mean, to the historic record of our time. I mean, Laura, can you talk a little bit about how important that is?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we are in such a moment of time that we've never seen before. I kind of, like everyone else, sort of sat in awe the week of March 11th and just kind of watched everything just kind of change. You know, we ended up canceling so many of our performances, and that broke my heart. It broke my heart to think about all of these artists right now experiencing that loss of not only connection with what they do, whether that's on the stage or they're creating something, and the idea is that people get to see it and experience what they're creating. And that sort of had changed so dramatically. And so I am so interested and excited to see how we capture what is actually happening through this expression, through creators. And you know, who knows? I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it's going to really be unique, and it will be specifically about Boise and the surrounding areas.
And then Terry, with that, I know you said, you know, what will go into the archive, but is there a hope that some of this will be on public display? I mean, we don't know what will be created.
Absolutely, we don't know what will be created, and as we go through these steps of reopening the city and have some, opportunity to showcase what's there. Treefort and the Morrison Center and Arts and History will do all we can to make sure this stuff is on display, that it's showcased in some way. And I think, so for those things, if we have a dance piece or a music piece, then what we'd be able to do is record that and that'll come into the archive. But the community, our real goal is that they can experience and see all of this as well before it's locked up in for perpetuity.
I think it is so wonderful that all of these organizations are coming together and that there will be a record of this history, but through the lens of artists and creatives. So thank you to all of you. I mean, wow, what invention comes out of a tragedy in a lot of ways sometimes, right?
Well, Gemma, that's exactly the role of creatives, to be, as we talked about last time on the show, they stay at the sort of vanguard of what we know and what we don't know. And they, if you look back at any other great moment in history, the artists and the creatives have led us into a new paradigm. And so the idea of this, we know $1,000 is not going to support or sustain someone, but hopefully it's a catalytic amount of money that spurs a new way of thinking or a new idea. And it also, we're getting contacted now by so many other organizations saying, we also want to help. How can we create a residency program in combination with this? Or how can we add more funds? So it's exponential in what it's creating.
I want to thank all of you for taking some time today. We've been talking with Treefort's John Michael Schert, City of Boise's Terry Shoresman, and the director of the Morrison Center, Laura Kendall, about Boise's COVID Creative Commissioning Fund. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you, Gemma. Appreciate it.
And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. Thank you for supporting us through this. Happy Friday. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.